Welcome to Pathfinder Academy. Class is now in session. Here are your professors, Caleb and Christian.
Good morning, class. You may be seated. Today's lesson is on the Suli race. This is part of our race overview series where we go over all the possible player races. And right now, we're on the uncommon races. Matter of fact, we're on the last five of them before we hit the races coming up with the bestiaries that were published after this book, The Advanced Race Guide. Sulis, these are genie people, which is interesting because we've talked about certain elemental races before, and there was always like an aspect of they come from the fire genie, the water genie. That kind of was their way they reconciled that they existed from what elemental, you know, bonding did that happen. So here now we have just straight up genie person. I don't know anything about these guys, so it's going to be interesting to learn about them.
I don't know if it's actually pronounced differently, but they are from a specific subset of genies called Jannies, I think, because it starts with a J. The other genies, such as like the Ifrits and stuff, they typically are responsible for one element, fire, earth, water, so on and so forth. Jannies are slightly different in that they can manifest all of the elements, but as a result, they kind of don't dedicate as much time to one element, and they're not as powerful. They tend to spend a lot of time on the mortal plane, and pairings with mortals and these Janni make Sulis.
Interesting. The only description we have of these guys is that they're strong and attractive. Okay. They can call forth elemental energies to augment their prowess in combat, and they are the descendants of mortals and Jann. They have like nice little lore here where like there's a, sort of like, remember when we did the changeling, like there's a certain point where they were called and they had to go find out their mother and their powers sort of awaken essentially. It's the same thing here. Usually happens during adolescence or an encounter with a genie, your powers might start to, you know, come out and you sort of have a foot in both worlds, both the, you know, the genie world and the human world. So they feel like they don't belong in either. So that might be, if you kind of feel that way, maybe this is your race to help you play that out.
So I'm hoping what they focus on is the all four elements bit. You know, maybe differentiate these from the other genie type player races by having a manifestation of all the possible elements at once.
Personal note, I don't really like this. I don't like the whole, genies don't interest me enough that I need to have five different genie types. I like to think of the other ones as just elemental type. The genie part doesn't necessarily have to happen. It can be, we'll find other ways, but whatever. I never really thought of genies and the elements as such a super entwined thing, but I obviously am not as up into the lore of Galarian as I should be, or as I could be. They are adults at 15. They are middle-aged at 35, old at 53, venerable at 70, and live up to 90 years. So they don't get the age group of those other elemental types.
I think they're just very close to humans, if not the same.
Yep, they are. They're exactly human. They can be as tall as 5 feet to 6 foot 8 inches, and they weigh between 130 and 220 pounds.
Which, again, I think is really close to human, if not the same.
Their RP is 16. This one actually gives it to us. I appreciate that.
That's one of the higher ones we've seen so far that aren't like one of the intentionally broken races.
Sulis are brawny and charming, but slow-witted. All right. They gain plus 2 strength, plus 2 charisma, and minus 2 intelligence.
A racial negative to intelligence is very hard to roleplay, I feel.
This is a little side thing. I mean, we'll talk more about this on some other episode that's focused on this subject, but I don't really let that sort of thing affect me to an extent. Like, people have charisma, like, oh, you can't be attractive unless you have a charisma, like, in the 8, and I'm like, that doesn't really matter to me. Charisma affects other things for me. Or, like, your intelligence. But there's got to be something there, right? I usually, like, if I want to be a dumb barbarian who dumps intelligence, I'll do that. But me as a person, I get a lot of fun trying to figure out the puzzles and things, and I hate to have to say, I think I know the solution to this puzzle, but I don't think my character would. And I hate that so much. So, I don't know, I always have a difficulty dealing with a negative intelligence or whatever and experiencing and playing that in game because I want to be able to solve those puzzles or come up with solutions or plans.
I think that's actually a good topic for a Pathfinder Academy episode because there is this disconnect between your players solving puzzles and the character solving puzzles.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Look forward to that, guys. Listen, you guys just got a peek behind the curtain. We parted the kimono. You get to see how do we come up with an episode to do. Sometimes just conversations like this. You know, I think drone on for about an hour about this mundane topic.
It's like an episode sandwich, you know. You got the Sooli bread with the puzzle center.
Delicious. Talk to me about their type. I demand it.
Now, despite being very human-like in age and weight and stuff, Soolies are outsiders with the native subtype, which we have seen before in Asimar and all the elemental races.
They are medium creatures.
They have the best base speed of 30.
Soolies begin playing speaking common in one elemental language. If they have a high intelligence score, they can choose from the following: Aquan, Orin, Draconic, Ignant, and Terran.
Sooli have energy resistance 5. They have resistance to acid, cold, electricity, and fire 5. Wow, that is insanely powerful.
That is most of the things you can have resistances to. There's like a couple others, just like
Sonic. Because that's so common.
Well, listen, there's so many games out there that are just so bad, you need some sort of resistance, otherwise you go insane playing them. They're just broken, you jump, you come flying through the wall, Knuckles looks weird now, I don't know what they've done to him. I wish I had Sonic resistance. I mean, I loved playing Sonic as a kid. Oh my gosh, my memories of being that temple level. I'm coming off on a wrong track, aren't I? We're going down a rabbit hole. All right, I think that this is certainly thematic to them. Obviously, if they're going to hit all, you wanted them to hit all the elementals, well, the first trait, Christian, I think they're starting it.
It's a little bit boring to me. I don't like just flat resistances, but man, is that strong. That's insanely powerful. I can't get over how powerful that is. I'm seeing where the 16 RP is coming in.
that is 4 points worth of cost, and there's only one other thing worth 4 points that we'll see here. They have Negotiator. Soolies are keen negotiators. I thought they had a dumb intelligence. I guess it's their charisma.
Yeah.
They gain a +2 bonus on diplomacy and sense motive checks.
That's pretty neat. Paired with their natural charisma, they kind of have a natural +3 to those abilities. So if it's a class skill, they can start off at level 1 with a +7 with just 1 point. They have Elemental Assault. Once per day as a swift action, a Sooli can shroud her arms in acid, cold, electricity, or fire. This lasts for 1 round per level, and I assume that's character level, and can be dismissed as a free action. Unarmed strike with their hands or attacks with weapons held in those hands deal +1d6 points of damage of the appropriate energy type. What on earth is this that is so insanely powerful? That is one of the most powerful racial traits I have ever seen, right after energy resistance. Above energy resistance, I think. That's flexible, it's powerful, it scales with character level. That is insane.
That is what costs, that's the thing that costs 4 points here.
I thought it was their low light vision. Yeah, so level 5, you have 5, once per day you have 5 rounds of +1d6 damage on every single attack. That's crazy, especially because you could pick the element, so if you know you're fighting a fire thing, well, you know not to pick fire. You're not stuck with your flaming longsword that you have to turn off for the fight. You can choose cold, you can choose acid, doesn't matter. Wow, that's good.
And they have low light vision, they can see twice as far as humans, and dim light. Well, I don't know what I would possibly want to exchange for. Everything here seems pretty good. But they do have an alternate racial trait.
The first one's actually really neat. It's called Energy Strike. The gist of it is that...
You do this every time. It's also their only one.
Is it?
Yes.
Ah, alright. Well, at least they gave them a really cool one. So, basically, you pick one of the 4 elemental types, and you have a stronger connection to that elemental type than the other one. So, if you pick, say, fire, you can only use your elemental assault ability to do fire damage, and you only have fire resistance 5. But, depending on which one you choose, whenever your elemental assault for that element is active, you get an additional effect. So, if you choose earth to be your element... for that 1 round per character level that your elemental assault is active, whenever the Sooli moves through difficult terrain related to earth and stone, she may move through 5 feet of that difficult terrain each round as if it were normal terrain. This allows you to take a 5-foot step into difficult terrain. If you pick fire, instead of adding damage to your melee attack, the Sooli may hurl a piece of your arm flame as if it were a thrown weapon. The Sooli makes a ranged touch attack. If it hits, the target takes just 1d6 points of fire damage, and this has a range increment of 10 feet. Those first two aren't too strong. I'm not thinking this is as neat anymore. If you choose cold, if you choose water, the Sooli can walk on water-based liquids as if using water walk, except instead of hovering above the surface, she creates a temporary layer of ice that supports her and immediately melts once she moves away from it. This ice is not slippery to the Suli and does not affect her balance or speed, though other ice affects her normally. Other creatures can't travel on this ice, but the Suli may carry people. Lastly, if they choose electricity, once per round as an immediate action, the Suli can shock a creature that touches or attacks her with a natural attack or unarmed strike, or a metal melee weapon, dealing 1d6 points of electricity damage to that creature. Really flavorful, but, like, not worth giving up the versatility of being able to resist and deal any energy type. These are all fairly weak. Except the water one. The water one's super cool.
I kind of like the water one because it's like there's no limit here. I just always walk on water now if I want to. And I really like the idea. I really, really like the picture of walking on water and it just turning to ice.
This isn't any time. This is only when your elemental assault is active.
Oh, sorry. Good point. And I think that it's, what is it, one round per level? All right, so you can do it for a good amount of time to go across one body of water, I'm sure.
Right.
You're not walking endlessly onto the ocean. I got that. Thank you. and also, I kind of like Shock Shield. I was interested in the idea of a feat or something that gives you the ability to do damage just if you get hurt. I think that's a smart thing. And if you're out there being a fighter anyway, and you're just doing 1d6 to things that hit you, I'm sure you could really work this out to help you. I mean, I can either do 1d6 points of electricity damage with my sword to one creature, you know, per amount of times I hit it, or I can walk into the middle of all the goblins and then 10 goblins hit me and I do 10d6 damage.
Actually, I understand can't that do that second part. It's once per round as an immediate action.
Oh.
You can only take one immediate action until your next turn, which is why that really killed it for me. If it was 1d6 points of damage every time something strikes you, that'd be awesome, but it's just basically once a round.
You're right. I do like the effect. It's a good idea. I wish it was a little stronger, or, you know, something eventually be a little stronger. But I do like the idea if you hit and things stop hitting you all of a sudden, the goblin goes, maybe I shouldn't hit this person. I'm going to go after the next guy. Could save your life. But yeah, I agree with you. The ability to change in between is probably a little more powerful.
Yeah, I really feel like they did not give me something comparable to the. They really underestimated, like, how powerful versatility is, which is, like, the name of the game in Pathfinder if you're talking from, like, a power game perspective.
But Christian, you skipped the most important thing, which is the names of these things. Earthfoot, Firehand, Icewalk, and Shock Shield.
They ran out of limbs they got to ice. Icefoot. Wait, we already used foot.
That's great.
Shock. Face. I don't know.
That's weird. That's what everyone says about mine. Yeah, shock face. You look at me, whoa, what's that? Whoa. Oh, a human can look like that? You see, Christian, I could have turned that into a nose joke for you, but I turned that on myself because I love you very much.
Well, you couldn't.
I'm tired, so I can't put forth the effort to make fun of you. They have favorite class options for the Magus, the Monk, and the Ranger. The Ranger, you get to add +1 to acid resistance, cold resistance, electricity resistance, or fire resistance.
Wait, there's
Monk,
no,
you can add half
there's
a
no
point
limit on the Ranger one?
Huh?
There's no limit on the Ranger one? It's just +1 every level?
Yep, to one of the four. You have to
with no cap?
Okay.
That is absolutely insane. Oh my gosh. What? Usually that's capped to, like, you know, you can only get up to +5. You could basically become immune to these elements. By level 10, you have 15 resistance to one element, or maybe 10 to one, 10 to another. That's insane.
Seems pretty cool. The Monk can add half point of damage to an elemental assault, which would probably be pretty helpful if you're using your punchy punchies and you're doing the multi-attack.
What? That's also really good. These are really good favorite class options.
Yeah. And the Magus is one that you'll see off in other places. They get one initial archetype, the Elemental Knight for the Magus, and this allows you to do certain elemental things as you would expect.
I think it interacts with their... it actually interacts with their racial ability, the Elemental Strike.
Yep.
Which is... I don't think we've seen that before. I really like that.
Let's talk about their feats.
Well, just like their archetype, their first feat interacts with Elemental Assault. It's called Extra Elemental Assault. You have unlocked greater elemental power. No special prerequisites other than being a Suli. Your Elemental Assault ability lasts an additional 2 rounds per day. You can take this feat multiple times. It affects stack. But not that good. No, not good.
You know, here's the tough thing. If I'm making a build around this, I think I have to pick this. If I'm a monk, level 6 monk, I only get 6 rounds, which means essentially if we're doing 2 encounters in one day, I lose all that damage that I want. So I might want to take this, though 2 is pretty low. You're paying a high price.
Yeah, but
two.
you can only use it once per day, though. You can only ever use it once per day, and then it lasts, you know, a number of rounds equal to your character level. +2. Oh, +2 okay. If you take this feat. So, yeah, level 1, this is super helpful. Basically, level 3 after, I'm saying this is useless.
Gotcha. Okay, you make a good point.
Well, I mean, once you hit level 6, what combat lasts more than 6 rounds?
You know what? Then I like to redact my previous statement. I actually don't think Elm Assault is super exciting. If it's only the one encounter, you only once per day, you know, maybe I'd rather have the ice walk thing. I'd rather walk across water once per day than, I don't know. I feel like I can use this less of a build around it once I'm done with my encounter, I'm kind of done with this.
Let's not jump the gun here. I'm seeing the next feat has the word Elemental Assault in it.
You may activate and quench your Elemental Assault ability multiple times per day. This is called Incremental Elemental Assault. You may use your Elemental Assault ability in one round increments up to a maximum number of rounds per day equal to your character level. These rounds do not have to be consecutive. Activating this ability is swift action, ending as a free action. Well, there you go. Let's just throw everything I just said out the window. Yes, this is probably, if you're going to build something around this for your character, if you're not just a random like wizard who like doesn't care about this, then I would pick this definitely.
Yeah, that's really powerful. Even if you don't take the other feat, that gives you the additional 2 rounds. Like I said, if you hit level 6, you hit level 8. You know, that's basically, now this is going to last 2 fights, maybe 3 fights. And then, you know, if you're going into level, you know, 14, 15, 16, it's going to 3, 4, 5 fights a day. You're going to end with this additional free damage.
Mm-hmm.
That one's really good.
They have a piece of equipment called the Elemental Flux. This flask, it's cost 20 gold. This flask of alchemical powder reacts to the elemental power in Suli's blood. Adding at least 1 hit point worth of Suli's blood to it creates an alchemical splash weapon. Look, they've done a better job. You can see as they wrote this book, they got better and better. Previous things would be like, after cutting yourself and doing equal amounts of damage to 1 HP and 1 pint of blood, they just threw it away. They just said, after doing 1 point of damage worth of blood, how about that? Let's make that a sign. It's not a gram, it's 1 HP. That's... I love this! You go to the market and you're like, I'd like to buy this grain, and they have to put the weights on it. I don't know, this is like 6 HP worth of grain. I don't know. Maybe wait, look at that skeleton. Wait, that says 9 hit points worth. Give that to me. Oh, I'm resting you. This is our new weight system. I'm going to create a new weight system for Trailblazers, all based on hit points. The Splash Weapon works like a flask of acid, except the damage is a random energy type, acid, cold, electricity, or fire. DC 10 and Craft Alchemy Check identifies what energy type the activated flask has. It retains its power for 24 hours, becoming inert. Pretty cool. I mean, it's like alchemical, except instead of just having to do an explosion, the alchemical fire, now I can do elemental energy damage. Worth 20 gold, maybe get a couple early levels.
And then all we have to do is revamp the entire Pathfinder economy system to work on hit points instead of any other unit of measurement.
That's right. It's only volume, though. I forget which race we did had a sort of reagent. It may have been Goblin. Where you could add it to alchemical fire to make it do more damage. I don't know how that was worded because it's been a while, but that might be able to increase this thing's damage. Keep that in mind, you can look that up. And the last thing they have is a spell. Imbue with elemental might. What is this, Christian?
I don't
know. Why don't I tell you then, since you don't know? I would love to inform you. It is an evocation spell. It is cleric level 2, magus, sorcerer, wizard level 2. Duration is 24 hours or until discharged. Bone negates. The spell functions like imbue with spell ability, except you transfer the use of your elemental assault ability to the target. The target must have an intelligence score of at least 5 to use the ability. The imbued elemental assault functions exactly like yours, except the ability's duration is based on the target's level or hit dice. Once you cast a spell, you cannot use your elemental assault ability until the duration of the spell is over.
Oh.
I mean, if you get that nice friendly NPC, it's level 10, you're only level 3, give it to him. Now all of a sudden, he can use it a lot longer.
I really like this because one of the things I was going to nag on is that the elemental assault ability kind of shoehorns Sulis into, like, you kind of have to utilize that ability. What if I'm a spellcaster? Well, if you're a spellcaster, you do this. Give it to your allies. Give them the free damage. Whoa, I love that. I love this. That's great.
And I'm glad it lasts 24 hours or until discharge, because I got about a billion other spells I'd rather use in the middle of combat. But to give this to my ally right before combat, that makes sense.
And they can activate it as a swift action. That's neat.
Which, by the way, I don't think we mentioned when we talked about Energy Strike. If I am a Magus, then I'll gladly give up my elemental... I'm sorry, not a Magus. A magic user. I'll gladly give up my elemental assault ability to get something like Shock Shield or Ice Wall, because I'm going to rarely use it.
True, yes. That's actually a very good point.
I didn't think about that. Christian, I got 2 questions for you. One, did this carve out its own niche to make it separate than the other races available so far? And two, what are your thoughts on this?
One, I'm going to say no, but I like kind of the understated subtlety of the Sooli. It leaves a lot up to us to create. Like, it doesn't specifically state the way they look, so I can choose how the Sooli looks, how much it looks like a genie, how much it looks like a person, the way my elemental nature manifests. But we don't have a lot of flavor to go off of. It's like, they're genie people, and here's their mechanics. As per, do I like them? I'm kind of in a mix. I think they're insanely powerful, and, like, the power gamer in me is going crazy over that. Like, they're clearly insanely powerful. This is an incredibly powerful race. Elemental Assault, like, it sounds just like 1d6 damage, but when you start getting incremental attacks and start enchanting your weapons, it really, really adds up. Five resistance across the board is so powerful. I do feel, like I mentioned earlier, I do feel like I'm shoehorned into utilizing this to effectively be a Sooli. Yep. I like the fact that I can really flavor them however I want. The way I manifest this elemental ability is, like, entirely up to me, and I think I'd have a lot of fun creating a character and coming up with the visualization of the way these things work. But I feel like I could only do it once, if that makes sense. Because once I do the one build I want to do, I'm done. I'm not going to play a Sooli again. They're kind of stuck in this one build, which for me is hit things with elemental assault really hard.
I think that they did carve themselves a niche. I was worried because we had already covered elemental races, but I am interested. That seems like if somebody said to me, I want to make an elemental race that can use all of them, I'd be like, please, that sounds great. And that's what they did here. And I like what they did with it. So I did think they actually made that niche. Though I'm going to agree with you. It is very honed and specific. Like, the elemental assault is a big portion of that. And if you don't care about that or aren't going to use that, then what do you have left? You have the elemental resistances. I don't like the art in the book. But like you said, it's just the only words are strong and attractive. But who doesn't want to be that? Every freaking PC picks that. I shouldn't say every PC. A lot of people like to have weird looking, you know, goblin dudes. But a lot of people pick, you know, they want to be the strong and attractive type. It certainly is my fantasy, since I can't have that in real life. But I'm with you. I don't have, it's not giving me enough. So I guess if you're going to let me be flexible, then I'm going to pick it, because boy, visual is so important to me. And I'm willing to, like, throw this out the window if I look stupid. I'm at least the it works both ways. Since I'm not confined into something, I can come up with something that I am going to enjoy. And I like the idea of the elemental. That's why I really, 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 really liked the class when it came out, the kineticist. And I can't wait till we cover that. And that you could pick and focus on different elementals. Even the arcanist, when we went over him, I liked him because, you could pick, I'm now an earth arcanist shooting out the earth things, right? The acid blasts. I liked that very much. So I like having the multiple elementals to deal with, and you can kind of deal with it like, maybe I cry red tears now, like a little bit fiery tears, or they just evaporate really quickly. I can try to work with that. The elemental assault is like, I understand it, and I see what it's kind of shoehorning me to do, but I'm not very interested. I'm the person that's going to change that for Ice Walk or Shock Shield and move on with my life. I'm not, because I want to have, because then I don't feel I have the ability to do the flavor of I'm multiple elements if I'm focusing on one of them. Ugh, it's tough.
Meanwhile, I'm the person that wants to pick a ranger, get all the favored class bonuses to make me immune to every element, and then two weapon fight with my 1d6 extra damage.
Right. I see that, but it's so like, okay, but if I don't want that, then what else? That's where I'm agreeing totally on.
Oh, you could be a monk, and then you could punch people with flurry of blows with your additional elemental assault damage.
I mean, the Magus is pretty well open as well, instead of just being a two-weapon fighter with their elemental knight archetype. But I've said too much already. I'm going to repeat myself. So my consensus, okay, yeah, all right. They're definitely, I will give them that they are different.
They definitely earn their 16 RP.
Next, we have the Svirflibin, which is precisely how you pronounce that. Joking aside, it's Svirflibin. Svirflimblin.
Ooh, let me try.
Svirfniblin. While we with the Svirfniblin. Svirfniblin! Available on retail stores near you.
Svirfniblin. I think you got it. Svirfniblin.
So these guys, just by based on picture alone, because I know nothing about them, look like the dark version of gnomes. We've had dark elves, we've had dark dwarves, now we'll get some dark gnomes.
Oh boy, and they have 24 race points.
Can't wait to look into these guys. We'll have them next, ladies and gentlemen. So don't change that channel. Well, I mean, it is going to be a week from now. I mean, if you're getting this live, then you don't have to change. All right, we need different things to say for podcasts. So stay tuned. Thank you all for listening. Class is dismissed.
Pathfinder Academy is part of the Trailblazer Network. For other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit our site, tblazer.net. Want to get in touch? You can email us at tblazernetwork@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at tblazernetwork. I've been Nicholas Laborde. Thanks for listening.
Oh, hey, didn't see you there. My friend Christian and I were just playing some role-playing games.
Hey, Caleb, do you think these guys would be interested in joining us?
You know, I bet they would. I mean, if they listen to Pathfinder Academy, they gotta be cool, right? If role-playing games are your thing, why don't you guys check out our other podcast, Trailblazers?
Trailblazers is an actual play podcast where you can see many of the concepts addressed in this show come to life. Season 2 of Trailblazers has been great so far, and I especially like that you can get into it without any prior knowledge of Season 1.
It's definitely a fun adventure, especially if you like mysteries and a dash of cyberpunk with your fantasy. If high fantasy is more your style, then consider giving Season 1 a listen.
You can listen to Trailblazers on this very feed. We've got a bunch of other ways to listen as well, so go to our site tblazer.net for a complete list of the ways that you can listen.
So go ahead, grab some dice, and join us. Alright, Christian, you come across an obviously important character to the plot. What do you do?
I immediately shoot him in the face.
Ugh, Christian.
Hey, Andrew, you want to play some D&D tonight?
No, I can't. You're not real. None of this is real! 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 Real!
Mental divergence can be a tricky situation, but we here at Tales from the Lich can be your hand in the infinite darkness. When you can't play, listen. TalesFromTheLich.com.